This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media.
Hey guys, awesome episode today. We talked to Tim Dillon about being a New York City tour guide. Then a guy asks if he should ask his friend if he's gay. And then someone wants to take someone and make him freakier in bed. Check it out. Enjoy. Podcast is J Train, Jared Fried, coming to you live from New York City's Upper West Side, State of New York Labs. We're here every Tuesday and Friday with your emails, your stories, your questions. Let me say it right off the bat. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for getting involved. Thank you for telling your friends. That's amazing. Right now, it's Tuesday, and I'm taping this before. We can let them behind the curtain, right?
Yeah, of course.
I will just be at the end of my China run. Which is a weird thing to say. Listen, send me some snaps. Make me feel at home.
Yeah, that'd be nice to get. By the way, can I say it's obvious that you're hurting because that hello was very short.
Very short hello off a hungover day. I woke up a half hour ago. Things are looking bleak. So I got a call from someone today, and it was like 11:40, and I was like, oh, God, they're like, and I'm like, answered like it was 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And just like, hello. And they're like, are you okay? Like, this person had a job and a day, and like, they were at lunch.
Yeah.
And they're calling me, being like, yeah, hey, how you doing? And I'm like, shocked. How could the phone be ringing at this hour? So, yeah, short hello, but we want to get right into it because I'm very excited about today's guest. And yeah, listen, Snapchat me where you're listening from. It's very cool. JTrain56 on Snap. And also, keep telling your friends, keep telling your coworkers, go on iTunes, rate us. All that stuff helps. I say it every week, and I only keep saying it because I love the growth. Every week we get bigger and bigger, and that's because of you, the listener. So keep spreading the word. Very excited about today's guest. It's your second time here.
It's my second time.
I think it's – I counted
it's
as
my first.
Yeah, 100%. Full time. Tim Dillon.
Yeah, last time I was with Dan St. Germain.
Yeah, well, Dan St. Germain.
Right.
Who, he came on here a few weeks ago with Sean Donnelly.
Okay.
You know, we promoted their podcast.
Yeah.
And then went up on the chart. Dan St. Germain did the move where
– yeah.
He hi-hatted me bringing you.
Yeah. I was his handler that day. Yeah. I was just like walking him around.
I could see what happened.
New York.
I was like, Dan, come do the podcast. And he's like, and then he was probably with you. He's like, it's some bullshit podcast. Yeah. You'll come on too.
Yeah.
And I didn't mind. I like you too.
Right,
so I was like, whatever. But it was funny to me.
I felt bad about
that. Because I like Dan.
He was just taking me everywhere that day.
Yeah.
You know? I think I was like preventing him from doing something horrible.
Yeah.
You know? You ever get that feeling when you're with somebody?
The last line of defense.
Yeah. Right.
Between you.
I won't murder somebody if I got Tim Dillon with me. All right, let's go.
That's a very good impression.
Yeah, but I remember that what you were like the Bro Chi Minh, I still remember that. And Bros of Stalin are
Bros
still
of
my
Stalin,
favorite things
Bro
in the world.
Minh. Yeah,
I love it.
We've grown up a little since then.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Okay.
You know, the emails, a lot of them, they've gone from like Bro Chi Minh to just calling me Jew. So it's really taken quite a turn.
You're like, we've grown up. You started asking me questions about Syria. I'm like, I wish you hadn't grown up.
All of you need to go follow Tim if you don't already. At Tim J. Dillon on Twitter. He's fantastic, super funny comic. He's gonna be doing a show at the New York Comedy Festival. Explain the show.
It's crazy.
Cool.
I was my day job when I was a comedian, one of them was I was a tour guide on these double-decker buses that you see like kind of driving around big cities like New York.
It's funny. You see them in New York, London, and LA. They're double-decker buses.
Yeah.
On the top will be a guy giving a tour.
You're right.
And you kind of feel like an animal at the zoo.
It's a horrible thing. Like, it's something that I don't know who thought it up.
Yeah.
But it's no good. And you realize that immediately. Like, as soon
Why is it no good?
Well, you know what it is? It's just a very inorganic way to see anything, number one. Like, you're not...
Well, it is like taking the tram at Disney World.
Right.
And I'm the animatronic New Yorker.
Right.
Look at that Jew across the street.
Yeah, it's weird when you're discovering things because, like, some guy... is pointing at them. It's just like a weird thing to be like, that's the Empire State Building. And you're like, all right. Like,
dude, would you play up being New Yorker?
Like, see, I would do it a whole different way. Like, I would be angry. I would tell people not to take the tour. I would say, this is not what you want to do. You want to get off right now.
Yeah.
And I would fight with people.
And like a Scandinavian dude would be like, well, what is he talking about?
Yeah, I would get in arguments with people because they'd be like, should I go see The Lion King? And I'd, no, you know, absolutely not. Why would you do that? And because, you know, should we eat a Bubba Gum shrimp? I had one lady come up to me and go, listen, you know, we're here for my nephew. It's like his make-a-wish. He always wanted to be in New York. And he's like, you know, we were going to take him to Bubba Gump, you know? And I'm like, well, just kill him now. You know what I mean? Like, why make him suffer?
And also, why come to New York?
What a shitty make-a-wish.
You do walk around Times Square and you do have this feeling of like, oh, is this just all shit? From home,
and that's what they do. Like, a lot of these tourists don't go anywhere. They just they take this tour and they look at everything, and then they go right back to Times Square and they spend their time in Times Square just kind of
at the Olive Garden,
and just staring at big TVs that they can see themselves on, because there's TVs at Times Square that you could, and it's like we've put people on the moon decades ago. Like, this is not a big technological advancement. Well,
and it's also like, you know, I guess it's all about feeling comfortable. You know, this is like, you know, Times Square at one point you'd feel unsafe. Now you go there and it's like, oh, I'm in my cocoon of safety. Yeah. I see a sign for MTV. I know that from home. I see the Olive Garden. I know that from home. I feel better about being in New York City. I'm a part of it now.
Yeah. And I used to make people, I would love to take people like down Fifth Avenue and point out all these expensive apartments to just make people feel like shit. You know what I mean? Like, I'd really want to make.
That's a place you can't afford?
Yeah. Cite these sale prices, 20 million, 80 million. And then I talk about the price of Hampton summer rentals and then private schools. And people would start to get depressed. You'd see it in their faces.
Because they're not, at that point, you're just not a part of it.
They're not right. Yeah. And I would just, I would say to them, I go, this is not for you. And they would start to really kind of, you'd see them going inside themselves and they'd start to get really depressed and angry.
The funniest part about this,
would lash out.
I do notice this when you see a group of girls come to New York City.
Yeah.
When you see like they're like 22 to 25 and they're here to visit with a big group.
Yeah.
They're all very dressed up.
What? Yes.
They all got, like, for like daytime, Sunday at 3.
Right.
They're like, okay, I gotta get my hair done to walk around New York City.
Right.
And then there's always one chick that's like leading the group.
Yes.
That thinks she 100%. Knows New York more than the rest of the Tennessee people.
And that chick's on her phone.
Yeah.
And that chick is giving orders because they will get on the bus.
Yeah.
And that chick is kind of giving orders to everyone else. Like, well, this is what we're gonna do.
This is how it's happening.
And then if another chick says, another girl goes, well, wait a minute, why don't we try this? She shuts her down immediately, so quickly and brutally.
Animalistic.
And I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a pack leader.
But
it's,
I love the fact that that one chick that's in charge thinks she knows her shit. And then you're like, there's an apartment that costs $20 million. And that chick is like, I don't even know how to talk to you now.
Yeah. Well, what's funny about some parts of New York is you're on a different planet. So literally, that's kind of what I'm going to do with my – so for the New York Comedy Festival, I'm just going to take out a tour bus. I haven't done the job in like a year. I'm going to take out a tour bus and just drive it around Central Park and give kind of the tour that I'd want to give.
The one you dreamt of
depressing people
with. The one
that I could do without – there's no – like, I'm not going to get fired.
Yes.
So I'm going to be able to just
So when you had the job, you were doing it like subtly. Like,
I would
like,
do it somewhat subtly. Sometimes I'd go over the line. It would really depend.
Yeah. You got to feel out your audience.
Yeah. Like sometimes I would be like, you know, I'd say stuff, you know, so a lot of people are just not paying attention. So you realize what's really funny is when you're doing something like that, people aren't paying attention. So I could be like, I would say things like, you know, the Freedom Tower was built with a lot of alien technology that we got from extraterrestrials. And people would nod. They'd look at you and they'd be like, well, that's interesting. That's good. You know, that's good. Like,
oh, kryptonite.
Right. They're like, kryptonite. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. You know, I'd point to a church and I'd be like, that's where they have a lot of the human sacrifice that we do. And people just stare at you like, this is great. And you realize that like, there's nothing going through their head.
No,
like,
it's just, I'm on the tour bus.
I'm
seeing New York.
I'm looking at buildings.
Yeah.
Nothing's going on.
Well, I'm happy we're doing this podcast for an audience of mostly out of New York. So, if you come to the city, just fucking get out of your element is really
just fucking walk.
Yeah,
just walk, dude.
Because there are,
that's it.
You walk the streets here and you see
just walk.
Just sometimes I'll look at some like Like, sometimes I just stare at old people in New York because I'm like, because they look classically New York old.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing about New York that I think is fascinating is the people.
Yeah.
Like, the people, you got to look at people. You got to see what they're doing. Like, that energy of, like, people rushing.
Well, that's the New York-LA difference. I don't, like, I hate when, like, one's better. Say one's better than the other is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But the one thing I'll say about New York versus LA is you are shoulder to shoulder with people.
Right.
And you can't escape fucking dealing with somebody.
Right.
So, like, that's why the people skills where it's just to the point. Like, get the fuck out of the way.
Well, that's what I would
There's
try
no
to explain.
There's no passive aggressive here.
Yeah, I would try to explain that to people as to, like, how much the experience of living here really challenges you.
Yeah.
And one of the things is the lack of personal space.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'll be on a subway. I was on a subway. I had a two-year-old punch me in the face who was, like, being held by his mother.
Yeah.
And his mother just gave me a look like, well,
shouldn't have been around.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have been in arm's length.
You know, the smell of New York.
Yeah.
All of that
stuff.
Well,
that's the thing. If you're in LA or you're in your car, you're surrounded by the safety of just like, okay, I get to be by myself and like yell into the car at somebody that's not even in the car with me.
But people move to New York, and this is kind of what people don't understand when they come from like other places. They come to New York and they're like, well, you don't have a lot of space. And I'm like, well, nobody spends any time in their apartment. Nobody moves here to watch Netflix.
No.
Like, that's not but that's what people don't understand. Like, from Oklahoma, they don't get that.
No.
They don't get, like, moving here because you have a dream and then letting that dream ruin your life. That's what New York's about.
That's actually on
that's
the New York
what it
side.
Is.
It says, welcome to New York.
Yeah.
The dream will ruin your life.
That's what it is. And, like, you see it in people's faces.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I told a story about, you know, I had a group of theater kids on my tour bus one day, and they're like, we want to be on Broadway. I said, look at me right now. Look at me. I said, very seriously. This is true. I said, look at me. I said, you will never be on Broadway. I said, you will not even audition. You will never. Look at me. They kept looking at their phones. It's like, look at me right now. You will never even audition for a Broadway show. You have no idea the regimen that those people have to put themselves through, and literally for nothing. I mean, I've seen the lady who plays Meg in Phantom of the Opera, and she's played it for 10 years. She drinks clam chowder out of a cup in the food emporium and stares. Like, it's not a good life. I don't know what you fuckers think Broadway is, but it ain't great.
She's not dancing around the streets of New York.
No, she's not the star. Like, every now and then you get an Idina Menzel, who's Fro, you get but the majority of people, I said, and if you sprain your leg, you will die on the street.
You're basically a horse,
right?
That they're gonna put
you
down
right
in the middle
on
of the
street.
Track.
You're singing karaoke, you're singing in Ellen Stardust Diner. Some pigs wants extra ranch, and you're singing some song from Hamilton that you can't get in, and then you know then you have to fuck your way into the middle class, and then you're like some teacher who like tells kids like I was an actress.
That brings us to our next topic. Tim has a podcast called Tim Dillon Is Going to Hell.
Right.
So
that was just self-explanatory.
I think you just explained the podcast.
Right. I think part of the podcast is I defend like these evil CEOs and dictators and people that we've all decided to hate. That's
so
part
I think
of
that's
it.
That sounds like a show that people who listen to this would like.
Well, it's fun. So one of them was like Lou Pearlman, who was the pedophile Ponzi scheme guy who came up with NSYNC.
Well,
and
if he wasn't a pedophile,
he was something.
He was something.
Whatever. But I went out and I said, well, wasn't he organized? You know,
you can say one thing about him. He was organized as fuck.
But part of it is like, what is, you know, that idea to me, I've always been fascinated by scammers and con men. And I love that stuff. I think it's hilarious and I think it's fascinating.
Like, how does that, like, Ron Perlman, you look at him and you're
Lou
like,
Perlman.
Lou Perlman.
I want to get you to get sued.
No. But if you look at Lou Perlman,
right.
Just go Google search an image of him.
Yeah.
You're like, wait a minute. Who would do business with this guy?
Well, right. And what's fascinating.
And then he was the most successful person alive.
He was so successful at this. And he owned blimps. Like, he had a blimp company. And then he just transitioned into boy bands. And like, when you read some of this shit, it's like the boy band auditions were like in a blimp hangar. Like,
oh my God.
So this is crazy stuff.
So this guy just saw, and it's kind of the, you know, hustlers are hustlers.
Hustlers are hustlers.
Like, so like he's like, okay, yeah. I made money in the blimp industry.
What can I?
Oh yeah. My God, look at those boy bands are making tons of money.
Right.
I also enjoy looking at boys.
Right. So maybe I should get. And then he had this business. Weird like compound in South Florida.
I remember that.
And it was crazy.
Do you remember like MTV used to do like
if you're
fluff
a pedophile,
pieces?
Lou Pearlman is your god.
Yeah, I guess
he did
so.
It. He did it. If you're a fat pedophile in a Florida buffet, Pearlman's the guy, because yeah. All you would dream about is like, what if I had a mansion with just endless young boys running around?
I guess
that feel like they have to fuck me.
I mean, well, you look at Mike Racine has the joke about the worst pedophile,
right?
So if you guys go look up Mike Racine Conan, he just
hilarious.
Did it on Conan. It's funny, but Pearlman would be the best pedophile,
the best.
Oh man, that's interesting.
Yeah,
so I want to hear more about that.
Well, it was just so that's the podcast essentially. Is we look at things. And then go, you know.
It's revisionist history.
Right.
For,
but it's also ideas. So, like, tonight we're having, we're talking about the importance of being popular in school.
Okay.
Because kids are told today that they shouldn't be popular. All of life is
isn't that whole idea of, isn't trying to not be popular now being popular?
It's the new popular. That's the new thing. It's like all these hipsters, like, what's happened is that the bullied has become the bully.
Yes, of course.
And so we're kind of looking at the idea of all this. We tell kids a lot of crap. And we tell them that, oh, be yourself and be this and be unique. Mm-hmm. And by unique, we mean kind of like everyone else that we've created this new person you should all be like.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to be popular. I think it says a lot about you if you are popular.
You can tell that our generation really wanted to be unique by the amount of people that I see. And I don't mean this as an offense to anybody in this room.
Sure.
The amount of people that I see that I'm like, that I'm surprised that they have a tattoo.
Right. Right.
I'm like, wait a minute. You are in a suit and tie and your whole arm
is the arms, is, your sleeves.
Is,
yeah.
Sleeve is covered. I'm like,
right.
How did that happen?
Right. Right.
Like, you know, like that wasn't like, growing up, you like the tattoo guys were tattoo guys.
Right. Yeah. It was something that differentiated.
Yeah.
Right.
And now you see like a white girl, like beautiful white girl with like a neck tattoo and you're like, what happened?
Yeah. No, it is strange. It is weird. But, like, I think there's like, a lot of this weird, like, kind of this, like, I guess I would call it liberal, like, feel-good.
You know, I like watching stuff. So it's funny because, Tim, I don't know, Tim, you side a lot with, you know, the listener. There's a very conservative mix of guys that listen to this podcast.
Great.
So, like, this is it's fun for me to watch you on stage. I think we agree on a lot of the same things.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I'll watch people watch you on stage and I'll watch like the hipsters.
Yeah.
And they're into it.
For a bit.
As much. But it's funny to watch them because I think that they think you're making fun of people who aren't on the side.
Right.
But then I'm sitting there being like, no, I agree with everything he says.
Yeah, it's weird because I would put these rants about politics up on Facebook and then people that agreed with me would go, oh, this is really funny. And then people that thought I was like doing a Colbert-like bit would be like, oh, that's really good too.
I was like, he's winning on every side.
And it's weird because I think it comes down to the fact that people really, we do live in this weird time now where people are incapable of seeing anyone else's point of view.
Oh, totally.
And it's
also my team versus your team.
Yeah, like, it's my team. And it's everything I believe is right, correct, and virtuous. Everything you believe is completely evil. And so if they like you, because I'm like a personable guy, so they like me. They see me out. We joke around. We're fucking talking about donuts or whatever. And then like the next day on Facebook, I say something and they go, oh, I don't. So then they go, oh, well, I guess he was kidding.
Yes.
I guess he was kidding about that.
Kidding about all the
long thing. Yeah, I guess he was kidding about that. And because it's always weird to me, and I don't really feel this way, but it's very interesting to me that you have a lot of these people that really go to bed every night, put their head on the pillow, and they go, you know, everybody who thinks differently than me is evil. Mm.
Yeah.
And I've never thought, I never believed that.
I think I had this girl was messaging me, and it was on the night of the debate. And I was saying, you know, there was a lot of answers I wish Trump had given.
Sure.
You know, because I thought the best part about Trump to me is that finally a human.
Yeah.
As much as people make him out to be this animal, which I don't think he is.
No, he's not. I don't think he is either.
I think that finally a non-politician is going to challenge a politician on their job that they've not done for 30 years.
Right.
So every time he'd be like, you had 30 years to do that, I was like, oh, that's a funny thing to hear a politician have to hear.
Right.
And that's what the Bernie and the Trump people are the same people.
Absolutely.
To me. They're the same.
Absolutely.
So it's funny to me because they both want the politicians would be like, listen, you haven't done this shit.
Yeah.
You know, and so when he was doing that, and you're just watching, and this girl was messaging me, and she was a big Trump supporter.
Yeah.
And I go, and she, I go, I just wish he had answered certain, yeah. she, we were messaging about it. And I just, I wish he had answered differently. I wish right. he had said, yeah, my dad gave me $18 million, and I turned it into $1 billion company that has yeah. jobs for people.
Right.
That's the trickle down that I'm talking about.
Right.
Because that would have been a fun answer to hear.
Absolutely.
Discuss. And she was like, oh, well, she was saying that Trump is the, she was just very Trump all the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, well, I go, but I just said I don't think he can be president.
Well, that's it. As comics, I think we have to look at this stuff and poke holes in all of it.
Yes.
And I think that that's what makes us funny. I think it is funny how schizophrenic people are. The people that hated Hillary now love her.
Yeah.
The people that are said that hate CEOs are now saying things like, you know, Trump hasn't gotten one CEO to back him. It's like, what?
Yeah. What about
3 months ago? You were telling me. How, like, this is insane. Or you have people that are now like, Trump's a racist, he's evil. These are the same people that did his fucking television show.
Yes.
Last year that went to his wedding. It's like, well, he was Hitler then? Well, he was still Hitler. And then, like, what are you talking about?
Well, then that's the other thing. Then this girl was telling me that Hillary
yeah.
should be in jail. She's a liar and a cheat. And I go, yeah, but you could say that about anybody.
Anybody who gets to that level of politics should be in jail.
Yeah.
Anyone who's that successful at anything
yes.
probably should be in jail.
You get, and so this idea of like this righteous person.
Right.
That like anybody, what I don't like is that we've made people out good and bad. There's no such thing.
And right. It's and here's all the other gray. Thing. I was having a conversation with my friend the other day, and he's another comic, and he made a lot of good sense when he goes, listen, this is not the business. Like, we're in this business. This is really not the business for good people.
Yeah.
Like, this is not the entertainment business. It's not like a good people business.
No.
You don't get into this like for some altruistic. Well, so it's always weird to me when like somebody will tweet something about the environment. I'm like, I know you fly private.
Yeah.
Like, I know. So you care about the environment, but not enough to sit next to me
yeah.
while I'm eating pretzels and talking about conspiracy theories yeah. for 3 hours.
They're yelling at you when you put the wrong thing in the wrong bin
right.
at Starbucks.
Right.
You're like, you don't put it in the recyclables.
Yeah,
yeah, like Jorge is because it's splitting up
weird,
the bag.
Yeah, it's this weird thing in Hollywood. You have somebody in a 20,000 square yeah. foot home with a helipad, and then they can start lecturing people about like the life.
This is why I like you, Tim. Because we're on the same page on these things, and it's funny because it's just interesting. Now, you know, it's funny. You go to comedy yeah. shows and you see a lot of these, especially during election time.
That's why I want the election to be over.
Me too.
Oh,
and just because you see these people that are basically, they're not comedians. They're just saying things.
Yeah.
Racism is bad.
yeah.
And
I
like,
want to
oh,
say
come on.
I'm against rape. what a risky move.
Thank you.
Thanks for that.
Let's get into the emails. Are you ready?
Yeah,
let's
I'm ready.
These
are the best.
Go follow Tim at Tim J. Dillon on Twitter. Tim Dillon is going to hell is the podcast. Listen, add it to your queue. So we are 20 minutes in and we haven't even gotten to an email. Let's go to
the
ready?
Emails.
I like this question because you're going to have a great perspective on
okay.
this. Is our friend gay?
Which friend?
This is the question.
Oh, okay.
Yo, what's good, Jufasa?
One of our friends.
Yeah, I'm like,
probably.
Which one? Long time listener, first time emailer. My boys and I are huge fans of the podcast out here in California. Constantly spreading the podcast on different campuses, Old Miss, San Diego State, and Long Beach State. Enough of the nut feathering. I write to you today looking for answers. I have a solid group of dudes from home. We always end up meeting out at parties or bars, and we come back to our hometown. We are all studs, but we have this one friend who never hooks up with any girls for reasons we are still trying to figure out. My buddy goes out with the intentions of getting so drunk he doesn't even talk to girls. We are all juniors and seniors in college, so we find it a bit odd. He hasn't been with more girls considering he is a good-looking dude. How do we as his friends get him to go after more girls, or do we ask him if he's gay? Keep up the amazing work on the podcast. You have fans for life over here on the West Coast. P.S. Send only shits and dicks to Trevin20X on Snapchat. What do you think? How do you handle the friend that goes out and doesn't hook up?
Probably gay.
You think?
Probably, yeah. Why else would you not be?
To me, some people just don't get into their sexual zone.
For a while. Okay.
I don't know, like.
Because I know, here's what tipped me off.
Okay.
And
let me, yeah, I don't want to out you.
No, you can. is my mother listening? I'm kidding, she knows. No, as a gay person, yeah. I would say that if you go out and you're getting really drunk all the time, that is a thing that gay people do. I think when they're with their friends to kind of compensate for the fact that they're not participating, like they're not.
Wouldn't you
up.
Say that's yeah. that's for anything that you're not sure about?
100%.
Like I think whether absolutely. You're gay or maybe you're not sure of yourself. In
he
bed
also
or...
might be like a murderer. Okay. He might. It he might be not gay. Like he might be
the next Lou Pearlman.
Right. He might be looking around, going, "I'd love to eat her."
Yeah.
Like it could be a lot worse.
There's something. That's
something's
the thing.
Up. Something's up. You better hope it's gay.
Here's how you don't make. How, here's yeah. how you don't make it better. Making fucking asking about it every fucking time. He probably feels so much pressure now.
Yeah.
He's gonna get himself so drunk every time they're going out. Like, I just think with your friends,
yeah,
you have to just like, you and we
let things happen.
Let him be.
Yeah.
He's your friend. He's not your friend because he goes and fucks a lot of chicks, obviously.
I have a friend who's a thief. You know, he's a thief. He's from Long Island. We grew up together. Yeah. He steals.
Yeah.
Like, he steals from his parents.
And
he
how do you steals deal from with him?
What do you, you don't have your wallet around. He's a kleptomaniac.
Yeah.
Like, he just doesn't know how to not steal.
There's a point in life where you can't, your friends are what they are.
That's it.
You know, and either you hang with them. Well, I always think right. of like friends in this way, where it's like, what, it's kind of like going to Baskin and Robbins.
Absolutely.
What flavor are you into that day?
Yeah.
You know, so like, that's kind of growing up.
Yeah.
You're like, okay. I can. This guy is a guy who's gonna come and wing it with me.
Yeah.
This guy's the guy I'm gonna go watch a movie with.
Yeah.
You know, like, or,
you know what sucks is I have friends that are divided into two groups. It's like good people and then fun people.
Yeah.
Well. And they're never the same guy. Like kleptomaniac guy.
That's
is
very
a
true.
Ton of fun.
Yeah.
But is like is a horrible person.
Yeah.
But. So it's weird, like, a lot of my friends that I love are people where just morally,
yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, like, I'm still like, this kleptomaniac guy, him and his girlfriend, they're like professional grifters.
Yeah.
They're living in a luxury apartment right now that some guy abandoned in their complex because he went to get divorced with his wife, and so he's going to be gone for a year in Texas or something. They moved into his apartment.
And they just had they know that he was going to
he
be
told
gone.
Them. He goes, I'm leaving. He didn't say move in. He didn't say anything.
They just
broke in, and they're living in his apartment. Like, this is how crazy.
And they have rationalized it. They've figured out a way.
Horrible people. Yeah. But let me tell you right now, if you say, hey, what's up to them, you get a great. They're like a great story.
They're going to be fun.
They're a lot of fun. But sometimes good people are not as fun.
But also, here's what's not going to happen with your grifter friend.
Yeah.
You're never going to go up to your grifter friend and be like, listen, you got to stop stealing.
No.
You know why? Because he's going to look at you and go fuck yourself.
Absolutely.
So this guy is the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's like if you, whatever, own your friends.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like they're
just let him, maybe let him know in some way that if he was gay, you would still like him. If you would still like him, I guess, you know, if you could do that in like a way.
Don't you think that happens on his own time? Like I don't like.
No, 100%.
I don't think I wouldn't want to like go up to any friend of mine. Here's, you don't want to, I just wouldn't. Want to get involved in that.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm
well, just, I think so. Let's say you see the kids drinking to excess. You see him like always getting hammered. Maybe as a good friend, you might want to broach the subject in a non-threatening way, just so he doesn't do more damage
well,
and
maybe
do more drugs.
Maybe
or
you
whatever.
Make it about the drinking. You just be like,
right.
Hey, dude,
like,
fucking
what's
relax.
Going on?
Are you okay?
Right.
And have that kind of conversation.
Yeah.
But don't make it. So you gay, dude? Like,
yeah.
Like I think that's
yeah, yeah.
So, like,
no. I don't know if you say it like that, but you know, find a way.
I think the way in is through the drinking. So like, you have a heart to heart.
Yeah.
You know, if you're gonna talk about it about anything,
that's
it's
why
not about,
like I didn't come out for so long. Because my friends were like, "Well, you're drinking to excess every night," but we are too. Like this is
we all
well,
do this.
Is this makes sense,
yeah.
right?
I don't know. Yeah. Like a sober conversation. You okay, man?
Yeah.
And I think that's the way in for anything. You don't want to be specific.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you okay? We all think you're gay. And he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. How did that happen?
Right.
I just, you know, I just can't get it up.
Yeah.
You know
right.
So and now it's
is, and maybe, listen, I don't know, because I've been finding more and more about this. Is asexual a real thing? I think it is. I think maybe some people just fucking
that's,
whatever.
Well, that's the other thing. That's why I
like,
say, like, coming
knows?
Into your own. Like
some people don't come into that.
I fucked more girls out of college than I did in college. Like, and everyone thinks college is the place to go have
he
sex.
He also like, might, like I said, like, it might be much worse than gay. Like, it actually might be something truly legally actionable.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We have a sponsor this week, and it actually relates to our next email, so I'm excited about this.
Right.
AdamandEve.com. Go to AdamandEve.com for a limited time. You'll get 50% off just about any item. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free DVDs, adult DVDs, plus a free mystery gift. And to top it all off, they'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. That's a fucking deal, people. Go to adamandeve.com, use promo code JTRAIN. That's promo code JTRAIN. That's promo code JTRAIN. That's JTRAIN, J-T-R-A-I-N at adamandeve.com. Use code JTRAIN at adamandeve.com. Get 50% off, 3 free adult DVDs, mystery gift, and free shipping. Guys, go get fucking that. Go get that deal. Turning someone vanilla into someone freaky.
Ooh.
That relates to adamandeve.com.
Sure, 100%.
Sup, JewTrain. Longtime lady listener. Cue music, please. It's a chick email. I'll skip the nut feathering because I'm trying to keep this short and I tend to ramble. I just got back together with an ex after over 3 years apart. We dated for most of high school. We're very different people back then. I was saving myself for marriage, and I never tasted a drop of alcohol. 3 years later, I've slept around. I'm a functional alcoholic and a big fan of an assortment of drugs. Text me. The guy I'm with is very much a rule follower. As far as I know, he's never broken the law and even waited until he was 21 to start drinking. He knows all about my lifestyle and is very accepting of it, but here's the problem. He's kind of boring in bed.
Ooh.
I like things a little weird and pretty rough. And so far, it's been all of my all lights off missionary shit. I don't know how to introduce this into our sex life and if he would even be willing to do it. How do I make my guy a little bit freaky?
Yeah, I mean, get him on the drugs, number one.
The drugs help.
That would be huge.
Start sharing.
And tell him. Tell
you
him.
You ever been with someone that you're like, it's not enough? Like, I need more out of you?
I think with gay dudes, it's kind of just like, oh, this is not, like, working, or this is not, like...
But gay dudes can be honest with each other.
Yeah, you know, but that's what it is. It's like a weird thing where you're just like, oh, this is not... Like, sometimes you're not compatible with the person, so you almost don't force that. Like, if you're not compatible, you don't get into a thing.
Yeah,
That's the thing with gay people. Yeah. It's like,
Because I was talking about this with a girl last night.
Gay people have sex before we meet.
Yes.
You know, so it's like, it wouldn't, you know.
Just got done. Yeah. Oh, that was a great ball job. Tim.
Right, right. Yeah. So it doesn't, like, it would never be like, I'd never be like 3 months in and be like, I need more out of you. You know what I mean?
I was talking about this with a girl last night. We were just talking about, like, bullshit, whatever.
Right.
She was like, I was like, I could have sex with a girl and not connect that to us being compatible at all.
Right.
You know, like, I could have sex with a girl and just leave it.
Right.
Like, and then, just like you're saying. With
a guy. Yeah.
Like,
And
she was like, but, you know, for us, like, she was, like, saying that, like, when she dates a guy, she's, like, trying to get herself, she was, like, she's dated guys where she's tried to make herself sexually into the guy.
Yeah.
She's like, everything about him is right. He checks every box. I just can't get myself wet to him.
Right.
And I was like, I would never even
go like down that road. Foreign concept.
It's a foreign concept.
Yeah. So, I mean, with something like this, it's almost like, you know.
That's kind of what she's saying.
Yeah,
she's saying,
like, what is.
She's trying to convince herself that it's going to get better. Here's the other thing I'll say as a guy. It's you're always in the driver's seat. You're always, most 90% of the time, I'm not saying it's all the time, but you have to be the dominant one with a girl. So, like,
right. That's
a lot of pressure, too.
Yeah.
So, like, you, because what happens? What do you want?
Right.
This conversation that she's having, she's saying to him, what do you want to do tonight? And he's like, well, what do you want to do tonight? And it turns in, and then he's always the one that, and then you're just like.
Some people are just boring, too. Like, some people, like, he might just not have that.
I mean, I've also had this. So, like, what? I had a girl during a blowjob. She was putting her finger up my ass.
Right.
I got over the hump. I was like, this is great.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah. I would imagine that would be a
fun experience.
It's not even controversial.
Then I hooked up with another girl.
And she did it was wrong.
So hold on. So I was like, so now I have a thing that I'm going to ask for.
Right. Put it in there.
But that's a shocking thing.
Is it?
Well, I said to the girl, she's like, what do you want to do? And I was like, and, like, you know, we're in the throes of like naked together. And I go, I want, I remember, I'll never forget her reaction.
Right.
I go, I just want you to, blow, man. And I want you to stick your finger up my ass.
Wouldn't it be amazing if you didn't want the blowjob? You're like, listen, I just want you to finger my ass.
In my
that's
ass.
It.
And I just want to sit here for the rest of the night watching Netflix. I want your hand. I want one digit in me and one digit on the space bar to press play.
I just want you to finger me and I want to relax. This is how I relax.
I want a cup of coffee. Well, you put a finger up.
I'm going to take a couple of calls.
I'll never forget her reaction when I was like,
horrified.
I was like, I want you to blow me and I want you to put your finger up my ass. And then she just goes, what? She went from like sexy talk to like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
You want your butt? And I was like, so I understand like the plight of a guy looking to do different things in bed. Here's advice number one. Go to Adam and Eve with him.
Yeah, get stuff.
Like, I think do that together. That opens up the conversation because what it is when you have the website in front. If you go to adamandeve.com, you go to their website. Now you're, at least it's like a public thing that is for purchase by many people.
Yeah.
So you could be like, what about that one? Would you ever do that one? Would you ever get into that one?
Right.
And now he's talking about it. It all starts with conversation. You can't just go straight to strangle me.
Right. You know, like, what if you watch a certain type of porn and go, that looks fun, let's try that.
That's exactly. So I think it starts, you can't put, because a lot of times the girls like this girl, she's trying to start at where she ended with the guy who was freaky.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So like,
but then you got to go, why did that end? And then that's interesting.
Well, that's probably ended because
what happened? Yeah. You know?
That's why she's
the
probably,
freaky guy comes with other things.
Yeah, that's why she's with the rule keeper.
Right.
But I'm saying you can't start at your last sexual partner. You got to start all the way at the beginning.
Right.
And that's with conversation. That's with, you know, going inch by inch. So you can't really, so for this girl, the advice is you really got to talk about it first. You can't just be like, in bed and be like, strangle me.
Punch me in the face.
Punch me in the face. You're like, this guy's
punch
like, wait
me
a minute.
In the face.
I just had my first shot.
Right. You know? Right. So,
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Let's do, I'm going straight in the mailbag with you.
I feel like
I'm not even looking at these emails. Do we want to do, we haven't done a high school email in a long time.
Let's do it. Is it legal?
It's legal.
Okay,
we can do this.
Let's do it.
This is a high school.
Cute.
Hi, this is a sophomore in high school, and I'm considering graduating from high school after my junior year.
Nerd! Nerd!
I want to do this because the high school is a very liberal high school, school, and it's very focused on fine arts. That's just not my thing. That's weird. Also, the kids there aren't really the kids I like to hang out with. Most of them are wiggers or future high school dropouts.
Oh, boy.
I don't want anything to do with that. On top of this, I am, and I'm not even exaggerating, no girl in my grade has a combined area code rating of over 12. So we do a rating system. Guys or girls can use it.
Right.
Face, body, personality.
Okay.
So it's like an area code method. So it's like if
516 would be like 12.
516 would be, but you don't add them up. He's saying, he's adding them up. So it's like face, body, personality.
Gotcha.
So 516.
That's my area code in Long Island.
Long Island chick, horrible.
Right. Hey!
But I'm saying 212
you're right.
Is horrible.
I love how I'm
too.
Getting offended for no reason.
But like
hometown pride.
You know, like seven, outside of Massachusetts, 781.
Okay.
That's seven face, eight body, one personality.
Right. Okay.
That's a lot of girls.
So he's saying nobody's over at 12.
Yeah. So graduating early would not be too much work. I have a 4.4 GPA and I would only need to take a few extra classes before school and during my lunch period. Should I graduate early? What cost would this have my freshman year? Would there be any positives besides getting to leave my shitty school? And in the meantime, how could I make my time better here? What do you think?
I mean, listen, you got two choices. One, you could graduate early, and two, you can shoot up the school. It's a joke. It's a comedy podcast. It's a joke. I'm kidding.
Jokes, people.
I'm joking. Okay. It's comedy.
Yeah, okay.
No, I mean, listen.
Two choices. Only two.
It's funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
Tim
Dillon is going to hell is the name of the podcast. Tim Dillon is going to hell.
Hey, do it. Graduate early. What are you doing? You hate the school, and you can graduate early? I've never been in a position where I could extract myself from an environment, and good for you. Like, I've been in things that I've hated and I have to learn to deal with them and learn to see the benefits of them. I think there is a positive for that, but if he can do it, I mean, maybe do it. I don't know.
I
think he's crazy saying that every girl sucks.
Yeah.
And he can't make any friends. And I mean, come on.
I think with every issue.
Yeah.
Let's all take a look in the mirror.
Right.
So, like, every issue, there's a... When you're pointing at something, there's three pointing back at you.
Right.
So, like, if you make a point with your pointer finger, those three fingers come right back at you.
Absolutely.
So, let's look at this from all angles.
Yeah.
I agree with what you're saying. If he can, if he can control his life, graduate early, get on, you know, and take control of that thing... Good for you, dude.
Right.
But also, let's look at the reason you're not really getting along with anybody. You called everyone a wigger or everyone's future high school dropouts. Let's look at your own attitude.
It's like weird because he's like, it's a liberal arts school and everyone's a wigger. It's like, what?
Yeah, that doesn't even make sense.
So it's like, I think a lot of it is just he feels outside of the box.
And here's the thing about graduating anything.
Right.
Anything. You graduate college, move to New York. You graduate high school. You move to, you know, go to your college. Your problems usually follow you wherever you go.
100%.
If you're a lazy high school student, you're going to be a lazy college student.
100%.
If you're having problems in college making friends, you're probably not going to have a big group of friends when you get out of college.
Right.
So I think, though, you know, and it's all about looking at yourself and being honest with you. I have these conversations with myself every day. I walked in here and I said, I'm fucking hungover. I can't be drinking like this. It's my fault.
Right.
And the thing about, like, when we pledge my fraternity, and I hate, you know, this is the one thing I always learned was, like, if you fucked up, they'd be like, how did this happen? And the only answer you were allowed to give was no excuse.
Yeah.
Because there is no excuse.
Well, I mean, it's like we have entire industries based on this. Like, I love to eat, and then I'll read like a diet book. So I'm like, I got to take off 50 pounds. And then I'll read a diet book. You get to page 6 of a diet book, and you go, oh, yeah. I know, like, why? Like, no, but secrets. It's a whole industry based on the idea that, like, you don't know what you know. Like, don't eat a cake.
Yeah.
Don't eat a cake.
Exactly.
Oh, that's interesting. So it is. I think personal responsibility in our society has become this thing that, like, doesn't exist. And I see it with liberals and conservatives. Everybody seems to be
blaming,
like,
somebody else.
I'm a victim. And that email, even though he doesn't mean it to sound like that, kind of sounds like, oh, I'm a victim. And can I get out of here? Let me just get out of here. And it's like, no, make that.
Getting
make
out that, of there is only going to fix certain things.
It'll only fix a few.
So I would say, take the extra classes. Get on your way. I mean, when I remember I was in college and I met a chick who graduated high school early.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I was like, well, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah. I remember in high school, the first 2 years, I hated it. I didn't like it because I came from public school to a Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
And then junior year, I started coming out of my shell. And like senior year, I was like nominated for Homecoming King. I was like, I loved everyone. Because it was like, it was that process of learning how to integrate and how to be friends with people.
And who you are.
And you got to who I am, which is like somebody who wants to be social and friendly. And I want people to like me. Like, all these people that see this value in, like, not being liked, fuck you.
Yeah. And it's also...
Fuck you. You're an asshole.
That's the thing. Yeah. He's probably sitting alone at lunch. He's probably removing himself from other groups. Why don't you get... I would say keep an open mind to everyone else while you graduate early.
Right.
And maybe you won't want to graduate early at a certain point, because maybe you'll meet some great friends when you have an open mind. So it's twofold.
Right.
Yeah, sure. Graduate early if you can, and you have a great GPA, and you're going to get into a great school.
Right.
That'll be a great thing for
now,
you.
Now, also advice for shooting up the school. Plan, because you have to. It's a joke. It's comedy.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Tim Dillon, @TimJDillon on Twitter. Tim Dillon is Going to Hell is the name of the podcast. We'll do one more email. This is great.
Yeah, let's do it.
Going to a wedding. We go from high school to weddings. I love it.
Yeah.
Going to a wedding with with a study buddy. What's up, dickless? No. Oh. Skip the nut tickling. Let's get this out. I need your help. After about a year of studying with a girl, 777, we finally left the library for some late night hangouts. Friday night, we ended up making out. Saturday morning, she asked me to go to her best friend's sister's wedding with her. Best friend's sister's wedding with her. Oh, fuck. How could I say no? I haven't been hit. I haven't even hit BJ land yet. So he's not even been blown.
Yeah,
he's going away. I'll be going there this weekend and staying
at
her house with her parents. What if I get hammered and piss on their couch? She told me, everyone who knows I'm coming there, that we are math buddies. Might as well have said oral partners. I don't know if you might as well have said that. Also, we have sex the next morning, Sunday, and it was great. My question is, how do I kill this wedding that I know absolutely no one at? How do I still get hammered and go home to her parents? Anything is appreciated. Thanks, J Train.
What's the question here?
I guess he wants to know how to do well at the wedding.
What? What's the question? I didn't understand the question. Like,
I guess he's
how do I kill the wedding? Like, how do I make like
be awesome at the wedding?
Oh, be awesome.
Be no. Here's how you be. Yeah. We're gonna do this real quick.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
You go to the wedding, and you fucking own being her date.
Right.
You shake everyone's hand. You be nice. You obey everything. But you are there as a piece of jewelry for her. So she's there to show you off and say where she got you. And all the math shit, if it's brought up, I would even don't even acknowledge it. You're there as the date. So you nail being the date. And also, why don't you fucking know how to drink? You know, like, why don't you like control yourself a little bit?
Control.
And after every drink, have a glass of water. Because that's
controlling your bodily functions. Yeah,
that seems like something you should be able to handle without me telling
absolutely.
You to do. Absolutely. Closing in the real world. Let's do one more.
Yeah.
I'm a grad student a few years out from undergrad, coming to you and the guest for some help. Some of my friends have given me the nickname the starting pitcher when it comes to girls. 7 strong innings, but fall apart in the 8th and 9th when it's trying to close.
I love that.
Love it. I'm not the type of guy who has ever been able to pick up a girl at a bar or a house party, but I'm not afraid to talk to girls I know or at least have been introduced to at a party or bar. You had a guest on the podcast a while back who said ABC, meaning always be closing, and was hoping for maybe some advice to put that into fruition. Do I try and pull off the patented move to the second bar location, or is there something else I can do to pull out my inner Mariano Rivera? Any help is appreciated. How do you close?
I mean, I think that the part of it is like he's probably losing faith in himself at a certain point, right?
Well, the starting pitcher analogy to me is so funny and so true.
Yeah.
I was at a wedding once,
sure.
And there was this girl that was like the one single girl at the wedding, gorgeous, like beautiful.
Yeah.
And it was funny because we're all like, who's going to make the play? Because then you got 5 single dudes that are like fucking foaming at the mouth to try and get with this girl.
Right.
So early in the night, there's a dude that's dancing with her. We're like, oh, he's got her. And then all of a sudden, we see him getting drunk. And we're like, oh, he's out.
Right.
You know? And you can only keep up a conversation on a first date or first interaction so long.
Yeah.
There's only so much to talk about unless it's like the magical moment where you're hitting it off and everything is great. But someone has to give back to you. It's got to be ping pong.
Right.
So if you're coming in there, you got to come in there. I think you got to – the key to closing is like touch and go.
Do you think maybe part of it is that – because I was in sales for a while. Sometimes like I would spend time trying to sell like really rich people like real estate and mortgages and stuff. And like my boss would be like, they were never – interested.
No.
Like you just showed up and they like to talk to you. You're like a fun guy.
Yeah.
So you could come by and like tell them about stuff. They were never a buyer.
Yes.
Like they didn't even walk on the lot. You're dragging people from off the lot. Is there maybe a point where like some of the chicks are just not into him and she's got identified earlier. That might be
That's a good point. Because it's like, you know, I did sell life insurance.
Yeah.
You could just sell term life.
Right.
It was an easier sale.
Right.
Than this big fucking thing that they didn't even need.
Right.
So you could. Right. That's why the touch and go to me is the move.
Huge.
Because you start out, you open up a conversation and you just say, hey, what's up? And then you go back to your friends.
Yeah.
And then you come back with some, yo, hey, we're getting shots. You want to come in on this?
Yeah.
You got to keep, and he mentions the like move to a second bar location. You got to keep getting yeses.
Right.
So like the idea is the second location idea is where you say, hey, we're going to another bar. That's her like accepting your offer and leaving the safety of one bar to go with you. And that's her saying yes.
Right.
So she'll probably say yes to things down the road where you're like, hey, want to come back to my apartment? You're getting closer to the more time she's saying yes, the better.
Absolutely.
So I'm saying you can do that within the bar too.
Right.
You can be like, hey, great to meet you. I'm going to go back to my friends. You don't need to spend the whole night with a girl you just met.
Yeah.
You don't owe her that.
I have friends that are clearly, like, they're the guy that will sit there for an hour while a girl cries about her ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, you don't want to be
and,
that.
Like, I have those friends where.
You want quick touch and go.
In and out.
Hey, funny comment. Okay, I'll see you later. I'm going to my friends. Come back. Hey, we're doing shots. Do you want in?
Yeah.
Now that's another yes. Great. Bring your friends over.
Right.
Now it becomes like, okay, we're going to go over to this side of the bar. And then you see her on the dance floor. Hey, whoa, where'd you come from?
Oh, look at you.
Look at you. You got a fat ass. You
know, right.
I was just going to jump in. A friend of mine had a similar problem. It's like, part of it was he wasn't being clear that he was just being friendly as opposed to like being sexual. It's like, try to get a make out of the bar.
Yeah, the sexual of it is the longer you stay there having this long, drawn-out conversation, the more you become comfortable and not a real sexual threat. And, and I don't mean it to sound like, you know, bad. I mean it
people are losing these skills because of the apps and because of dating. I really believe that what you're talking about, people are losing these skills.
Yeah, and like even the word sexual threat, I don't mean that in the negative way. I mean that in the most positive way, where it's like, oh, that's a guy I want to go home with and have a fun night with.
Right.
Right. Don't even say threat. Say option.
Sexual option, exactly. Right. So like, you know, where sit with her getting the life story guy, that's a brother.
Yeah,
you want to be. You don't want to be a brother.
Well, that's what I would be on sales meetings, and like, my boss would like listen in on my conversation, and he'd be like, "It'd be some lady telling me about her son," and my boss would be like, "What are you doing? Like, they don't give it. They're not buying. They need to be asking about the product.
What are we? Yeah, exactly. So like, so the more you're sitting there asking, so the real advice is step in the water. It's kind of like the ocean. Spend 10 minutes in the ocean. You get out, sit on the beach. Let's go back in the ocean. She's the ocean. Her vagina's wet like an ocean. There we go. I just figured that shit out. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Tim Dillon, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Fantastic. Go follow Tim on Twitter at Tim J. Dillon. Also, he's got a podcast. Go get involved with that. Tim Dillon is going to hell. We're going to be right back with hypotheticals in the news. We'll be right back. Hey, guys. Welcome back. Tim, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Fantastic. So much fun. At Tim J. Dillon on Twitter. Tim Dillon is going to hell. That's the name of the podcast. Mansamp, good to see you.
Good to see you too, man.
At Mansamp on Twitter, Mandatory Samson Podcast, every Friday here on the Labs Network.
Yep.
Let's do a hypothetical. Are we ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yes.
Let's do one and one. Hello, Jared Freed. I thought of this hypothetical while taking a poop. If your best friend or any family member took a shit in your toilet and purposely didn't flush for you to notice before they left your house, then died on the way home from your house in a car accident, would you leave the toilet unflushed to remember them by it, or would you take the shit out of the toilet and preserve it?
The person who asked this should be put in jail.
Yeah, right? We got to get rid of this person.
This guy's got to go.
What I would do, I would just play like music while I flushed it.
Yeah.
In their memoriam.
Right. I would just flush it, but I would certainly come up at the wake.
Just to flush it.
Like that fuck, you know that animal before he died?
That's a really a bad way to go out.
Right, right.
Your last, your legacy isn't really being preserved.
It's so many hypotheticals that have to happen.
I would flush it as a single tear drop down my cheek.
Yeah.
And that would be it. Hello, Mansamp, OKP, and Jew.
Oh, wow. I went first. How about that?
It's crazy. Do you remember when emails didn't greet you with anti-Semitic names? Because I don't. It's crazy hearing how far this podcast has come, especially hearing you read the name for promotions. Harry's MeUndies, that famous sports podcasters like J.J. Redick, Tony Kornheiser, and Bill Simmons do on a weekly basis. This leads me to my would you rather. Would you rather do a podcast with Bill Simmons or Tony Kornheiser? Both on the top of the podcasting game right now. With Bill, you could dive deeply into obscure topics while having a Boston Brady circle jerk. But Tony, you could talk about Jewish things. This is a very insight. You ever listen to any of their podcasts?
Yeah, well, as a Christian, I got to go with Bill.
You got to go with Bill, right?
It's completely understandable. I'm going to go with Tony because he's a digital guy.
Yeah, he is. I'm a huge fan of the Tony Kornheiser podcast. Yeah, I'm actually friendly with Nigel, the producer, over Twitter.
Oh, really?
And yeah, he did a show with me. He's a great dude. I would do Tony just because I'm obsessed with that podcast. Let's do one more. Would you rather always be able to fuck 888s and up whenever you went out, but risk of pregnancy every time is tripled?
Ugh.
Oof. So 888s you can get with every time you go out, but the risk of pregnancy is tripled. Or would you rather only be allowed to fuck a maximum of 555s, as in that's the best you can do, and it's usually less, but there is never a risk of pregnancy? Thought-provoking, for sure. What do you think?
It is thought-provoking. Well, here's the thing. The risk of pregnancy, say somebody's on the pill or whatever, it's like a 1% chance.
Now it's gone up to
3%. Now it's a 3%. Yeah, I mean, you're probably going to fucking take a shot at that, right? You can always wear a condom because you're going to diminish the chances then.
I would go with the, what would you do?
I mean, I think you got to go, you got to do it and fucking deal with the pregnancy scares.
The scares?
You got to
deal with it. I get so stressed out about the pregnancy shit, but I would just limit myself to only blowjobs. I'd live a...
Oh, wow.
I'd live a blowjob life.
Like a priest.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be like a priest. Exactly. Let's do some news.
This story is disturbing and it almost seems unreal, but it is the truth. Mm. This guy named Jordan from Australia got his dick bitten by a spider for the second time this year.
The second time?
You know what? Yeah. Then you deserve it.
Yeah. Well, right.
You know?
At that point, I don't know. Twice?
He was in a porta potty.
That's when you know, that's a fetish.
Yeah, maybe.
That's not, you know.
Well, wait. So listen. So April 27th, 2016.
It's a fetish.
He was bitten by a spider while using a porta potty.
Okay.
Goes into another porta potty this week. Same fucking thing. Different spider, though.
No, this is what happened. Okay. The first time he went in the porta potty, it was an accident.
Right.
It's like me with the finger up the butt during the blowjob.
Yeah.
The first time, you're like, oh my God, this is a fun adventure.
Right.
Now I got to keep buying spiders.
Right. Now it's base level.
Now it's base level. Now he can't get hard unless something's crawling up his arm.
Right.
You know, like now we're going to find out about a third time.
That's an interesting fetish. Honey, do you mind bringing in a few spiders?
Spiders.
Do you mind a spider in the bedroom? You don't mind
I just think like the we've gone up the crick so far with sexual proclivities.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That now it's like we're going to be at a point where we're just like staring at somebody and that's going to get us off. Like we're getting weirder and weirder.
It's getting strange.
So like this guy had the one thing happen. He's like, oh my God, a spider bit my dick. And then he was like, spider bit my dick.
Oh my God. You know, it's a redback spider. It's like a black widow.
This thing could have
easily killed him.
Yeah.
Right. Listen to this quote.
But to him, that's hot.
Maybe now. He goes, I was sitting on the toilet doing my business. It just felt that the sting that I felt the first time. I was like, I can't believe it's happened again. I looked down.
I can't believe it's happened again. Not again.
And I've seen a few little legs come from around the rim. That made me so uncomfortable.
Well, also, is Australia just this like wasteland? Like, is there just like
it was a prison
crazy
colony,
yeah, but is this just crazy animals just roaming?
You know, I don't know. This sounds very suspect.
Yeah,
it
sounds
be,
like somebody wanted something interesting to talk about. What if I made up that a spider bit my dick?
This is good.
What if I went in with that?
What if we go into a show? We go to a show in Brooklyn.
Yeah,
and there's a guy getting up, and he's like,
yeah.
So a spider ate my dick.
Yeah,
you know, like, that's his opening joke. Do you have any more?
Let me see.
That's spider
more
privilege.
Spider privilege.
I don't know. We ran through quite a few. I got one more. Here we go.
Let's do it.
So this TFM refers to everybody that like has a point as a social justice warrior. But okay, but they go.
this is what we're talking about. Like where it's like everyone
is
on a team. They've chosen a team.
Yeah.
Right.
And go fuck yourself with your team.
A student at Colorado College penned a scathing piece in the school paper, The Feminist Wire, complaining about how the school is overflowing with healthy dining options and fitness programs, perpetuating a culture of body shaming.
Oh, I'm with her. Let's get some gumbo, some fried chicken, some jalapeno cheddar cornbread.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. Like at this point, what are we even fighting about?
What are
we even arguing about? Like it seems like we're fighting to fight.
Yes.
Like it seems like we're fighting to fight. This doesn't even seem.
I also.
Well, you're telling me you cannot find bad food in America?
Yeah.
You're telling me you can't find a fucking Taco Bell at McDonald's?
Right. Weed's legal in Colorado.
What are you talking about?
I also don't think these would be stories if the internet didn't. The internet is too vast.
100%.
So, like, you know, right now, sometimes I see people complaining about people, and I'm like, I don't think that person even exists.
They're not even angry.
They're not even mad. No, they just want to get it out there. So, like, but like sometimes, someone like this, like this person who wrote this piece, they just don't have to pay their own rent yet.
Right.
They have nothing to worry about.
It's like we have healthy options. Yeah. It's like that has nothing to do with body shaming. That has nothing to do with
this person
anything.
Needed to fill their Tuesday with something that would make them feel good. Since there's no mining jobs out there for her to do, she's got to pen a piece.
I've said about the college culture, I'm a proponent and I'm very much in favor of a long and bloody war with Russia. And after that, you won't see any of these things. A long and bloody conflict.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, know, they're surviving on the other side of that. People will be like, there will be no more think pieces about the cafeteria.
Yeah, right. We should do it in Syria. I mean, I think we're already kind of there.
No,
we might
I want
as well
one
do
here.
It.
I want somebody in Oberlin to look up and go, "What's that?" And I just want heads and limbs flying everywhere.
Yeah.
It's my personal wish.
Oh no, Putin!
Right? Yeah. Oh, this is a real problem.
Yeah. Now the cat. Now
drone privilege.
Boom. And then all of a sudden they're not so worried about the gluten-free breakfast.
Yeah.
You know what's kind of amazing about this though too? Like I'm not in the I'm not in perfect health. I don't eat great, but like I do understand that there is a base level of health, and like there is a default kind of for the human body. You know what I mean?
It's this
like,
girl cannot be hot.
We're so
if she was hot, she would not be petting.
But
this
we're so beyond that even. Like somebody said this the other day. Like we're living in a post-fact era. Like, that doesn't even matter. Yeah. Like, that's an objective fact.
Yeah,
don't eat a block of cheese.
What?
That's
Stop
your
shaming
privilege
me.
As a white man to say that because your culture is perpetuated. And people just start yelling, and then you go, oh, we're just living in a time that is run by emotion. And I love rich people. I study rich people. Rich people get rich by not being emotional.
Yeah. Yes.
And people have just completely gone the other way and said, we're going to just completely be these just, sobbing, crying, psychopath.
That's like you. It's very rare that you see someone that's very successful who has a line of think pieces in their background.
Right.
You know, like they instead of spending their Tuesday on are the cafeteria foods, an injustice to my body.
Right.
They were spending time being like, let me just try and sell somebody something.
Sure. They might look. They might have it in their draft folder, but they didn't send it.
Yeah, they didn't send it.
They let 100%.
It out. 100%.
So, Man Sam, thank you for bringing the news.
Thanks for having me.
At Man Sam on Twitter, Mandatory Samson Podcast every Friday. Tim, thank you. Fantastic.
Thank you.
So much fun. At Tim J. Dillon on Twitter. Tim Dillon is Going to Hell is the name of the podcast. Go check it out. Go support it. Super funny. Such a good comic. One shout out before we go. Sup, J Train. I'm a college grad that is now aspiring chef. Listening to your podcast is a pleasant reassurance that not using my degree is okay. However, long hours make it hard to hit the bar scene sometimes, and I am in I'm in desperate need of tits. Shits would be good for a laugh too. Snapchat is CIEGE 2013. That's CIEGE 2013. And or send the ladies to my Instagram to see some chef level shit at Food Smith Siege. Food Smith CIEGE. So go check that guy out. That's cool. Good for him. I'm Jared Freed. That is our episode. It's such a pleasure to do this podcast. I'm happy you guys are enjoying. Keep spreading the word. Keep telling your friends. Keep rating us on iTunes. You can find me online at JTrain56 on all platforms. We'll be back next episode. Boom.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production powered by Digital Media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. And find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Boom!